As you can all see, I broke my hand this last Sunday, and I'm probably gonna wear out this joke, but you know, last Sunday I went home and I was praying so hard for you guys. Yeah, right. I was playing basketball, and so I broke my hand, so I'm out for about 6 weeks or so. But if you can pray for me, I'd appreciate it. Swelling's gone down quite a bit, but you know, one thing about, I realize how so dependent I am on my right hand. You know, like if you have the, I should say, the lack of privilege to actually watch me eat. I eat like an animal now. You know, it's like, you know, when you eat with your right hand, just like you bend your wrist and stuff. I don't know how to bend. I'm like, you know, I look like an animal when I eat. So maybe we'll go out to eat later on. You can see for real in your face. I'm starting a new series today, and this is going to be a little different, right? And we finished off the whole thing on prayer. And if you want to get an MP3 of the whole set, I think there's 12 messages in that set. You can grab that. You know, we can make that for you, available to you. But I'm going to start a new series. And a lot of this comes from a lot of discussions that I've been having with people. And these discussions are about the Christian life. And I recognize that a lot of us as a church, you know, we're quite new to the faith. We're quite new to church. Maybe we've been going to church for a long time, but now things are a little more fresher for us. And so I'm sort of speaking in this context in this series. The series is called Living the Christian Life. And it's just basically, if you can imagine, as if that we were sitting in Starbucks, you know, and took me out and we're sitting down talking together, just as two friends get together, and you're just basically asking the question, Pastor Sam, what is the Christian life? You know, and this series is going to be sort of a response to that. I read a really good book. I recommend some of you guys read it, by Henry Nouwen. And this book is called, I think it's called The Beloved or My Beloved. It was one or the other. But Nouwen, when he wrote this book, he wrote it to a friend of his that's actually become a friend, you know, for this long course of time. And he's a sort of a upper middle class Jewish writer, you know, that's living in Manhattan. And they begin to strike up this kind of relationship. They actually met because he initially came to interview Henry Nouwen while he was teaching at Yale Divinity School. And so, you know, they sort of got talking, you know, together, and they just developed this kind of quirky friendship in a way. And this friendship, you know, evolved. The guy got married, the guy had kids, and they just continued to grow. And at one point, because now, you know, as a Christian, he's trying to, you know, obviously lead him to the Lord. And they sort of had this conversation one day, and he finally, this guy, I don't know why, he was upset or something, and went up to Nouwen and basically said, you know, you're speaking to the wrong people. You know, everything that you say, all the books that you're writing, all this jargon that you're, you know, spouting off, it's to the wrong audience. You know, and so basically this guy asked him, can you write something for my friends and I? Can you write something and get rid of all the Christian language, you know, get rid of all the lingo? And can you just write something for guys like me that are seeking something, right? That are seeking this relationship with this God that you talk about, but I can't get past all this language. I can't get past all these rules and regulations. And so can you write something for me, you know, that speaks my language, you know? And I'm not going to dare to even attempt to do something like that, you know, throughout this series. But that sort of really struck me a little bit, you know? And so I sort of wanted to speak today, you know, in sort of in a similar vein, but not necessarily someone that knows nothing about the Christian life, but someone that's like us that has been initiated into the life, but may not really understand fully what we got ourselves into. You know, and so this kind of message is sort of for you. You know, and I hope many of you can relate. I see a lot of smiles. I'm like, that's me, man, right? And things. And so, you know, and I'm not going to speak long. I'm going to go to some scriptures here and there. You know, but it's just basically, you know, if we're sitting at Starbucks or, you know, here at Pacific Coffee, you're saying, Pastor Sam, what is this Christian life all about? And then I'm going to be sort of going through a couple of things in the next few weeks. Obviously, not next week, but, you know, later on, just talking about what really is the essence of this commitment that we have made before the Savior of ours. You know, we are convinced now, right, that Jesus Christ was alive 2,000 years ago. You know, we have become convinced that the Bible is true, hopefully, right? We've become convinced that this man did live these 33 years, and then he died for us. You know, and we've seen the evidence, you know, and not only in the scriptures, but throughout history, you know, and through, you know, the philosophers and through the historians, you know, and we recognize that this guy really was raised from the dead. You know, and so now we have all these truths, right? We have a kind of a cognitive understanding, but then what does this mean about how we ought to live our lives? You know, what does this say about what I do every single day? What does this say about my life as a banker, or my life as a lawyer, or my life as a teacher, as a housewife? You know, how does this truth, how will it impact me in the way that I live my life every single day? I'm really hyping this up. Really, it's not as good as what I'm hyping up, trust me, okay? So you just have to follow me along. But let me just start off by right in the beginning, by just saying, first of all, what Christianity is not, right? And so then we can focus on what it is. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts, okay? I really have to drive this into us. Christianity is not a list of do this and don't do this and do that and don't do that. The moment that we focus ourselves on the do's and don'ts is the moment we lose sight on the essence of this relationship that God has for us. Christianity is not a religious system. It is not, right? The Encyclopedia Britannica says that Jesus came to establish a religious system, right? To a religious order. He did not do that. You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth to be with us. Right? He didn't come to establish some religious system and this hierarchy of priesthood and all these things. He didn't do that. He came to be with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. That was his goal. Christianity is not just attending church, right? It's about being the church. It's a holy temple, each one of us, where the Spirit of God resides in. You know, and I tell you, and I can go, I'm not going to list on and on, but the moment we start to focus on these other things, you know, we think, oh, I'm a Christian because I come to church, right? I mean, that's why, you know, in the United States, you know, about 80% of the population, some studies say even more than that, some say a little less, but sort of a conservative figure, about 80% say they believe in God. You know, about 80% of the Christians in the United States, you know, say that, you know, that they believe in church and these things. You know, but we're not dumb enough, you know, I mean, we recognize that, man, that even though some people may say they're Christians, and maybe some people may go to church, that doesn't necessarily mean they're Christians, you know, or they're living this moral life that they should be living, you know. And we see, like, in Korea, you know, I mean, you know, because I'm Korean, obviously, right? And they, so, I mean, when I was going to school, you know, I went to an Assemblies of God university, and, I mean, they love Koreans, man. You know, I mean, they just, you know, like, every, like, Christian that I meet who's sort of older, and I tell them that I'm Korean, and they just start going off. Oh, my gosh, man, Korea. You know, even, you know, when I went to the doctor last Sunday, I went in, and the guy was sort of looking at me and looking at my x-rays and stuff, and he asked me, what do I do for a living? You know, and usually, if I want to have a decent conversation with them, I actually don't tell them that I'm a pastor, right? Because then they usually shut down right there. But I was, you know, I was so tired, so I said, okay, yeah, I'm a pastor. You know, he sort of looked at me and says, oh, what church? I goes, oh, I'm pastor at the Hong Kong Korean church. You know, and then this guy says, whoa, you're Korean. Ooh, those Koreans, you know. I mean, he was going off for like 10 minutes, and I'm just like, dude, I'm tired. Can you just see my x-ray and put a cast on and let me go home? You know, I'm just being honest, right? And things, and he's like, wow, it's a miracle what God has done in Korea, you know, in all the churches and stuff. And he says, when I go into Seoul, you know, and because obviously he was saying he was a Christian. When I go into Seoul, all I see these red crosses everywhere. And I think, wow, this is a glorious land. And he's just going off, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, can you just get my cast, you know. And I mean, you know, and grew up like that. And we, you know, but Korea, right? I mean, the records or so the statistics, right? About 35, maybe 40% are Christians. You know, but now their divorce rate is getting up to the level of the United States, man. You know, and you just think like, wow. So you know, there's like kind of inconsistency here. You know, and so just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. You know, just like if you've heard Josh McDowell say this, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger, right? Have you heard that one before? It's sort of lame, but anyway. You know, and it's kind of the same kind of the attitude, and we need to be aware of what it is and what it isn't. You know, I mean, you came to church today. That's great, man, you know. And you should be at church, you know, as a Christian and stuff. And sometimes we say, pat our, man, I gave up this. Man, I'm here today. You know, and sometimes the attitude, God, you should just bless me because I'm here. You know, I could have done all kinds of stuff, but I saved time for you, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, it's almost ridiculous, right? The guy that gave us life and breath and, you know, in him we move and have our being, you know, the apostle says and stuff. And going back there, right, the moment we start focus on all these peripheral things and we take our eyes off Jesus, we miss out on the true essence of what we really need deep inside our soul, right? That we're really after, no matter what. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we started a men's fellowship. It's been going really well. You know, I think we doubled our attendance last week. Did we double yesterday?
Oh, two more.
Oh, two more. Right. Almost doubled our attendance. Hey, don't despise small beginnings, right? Remember what the proverb says. And so, we got together, and it's amazing. We were actually joking around. He's not here right now, but, you know, it's sort of fun. You know, there's what, six of us, and I think Junming talks about 70% of the time, right? But everything he says is so it's so interesting, you know. And it actually, even though one person is speaking, because it's like four people talking at once, you know. Because, you know, if you ever had a conversation with Jungmin, right? He's like having conversations with himself, and so it seems like even though one person is speaking, there's four people speaking, you know. And so, I mean, it's really good. But one of the, you know, because what we do is we ask a lot of questions and we talk. And I've been meeting with a lot of people, and I get these questions over and over and over again, you know. And it's, Pastor Sam, is it okay to drink? You know? Pastor Sam. Now, I'm not saying these guys, right? So don't think, you know, but just generally. Pastor Sam, you know, is it okay to go to Room Salon? You know? You know, Pastor Sam, you know, Room Salon is like kind of where, you know, it's sort of a, is it a Korean thing? Yeah. Sort of a Korean thing, and you go, it's like a bar, but you get your own private room, and you pay women to be nice to you, basically. Right? Is that, it's not quite prostitution, but it's sort of bordering on prostitution. I don't know. I've never been to one and stuff, so I don't quite know. But, you know, and they pour drinks for you. Oh, right. So they have to be nice to you. And so, all right, I think their job as women is to make you drink a lot, right? So there's more money for them and stuff. So they just keep pouring. Any case, that's a Room Salon. I just edumacated some of you guys today, right? Now, you know, kind of, is it okay, you know, Pastor Sam, is it okay to go clubbing, you know, is it okay to smoke, you know? I mean, there's a lot of peripheral things that are not quite in the Bible, you know what I mean? And stuff, and, you know, it doesn't say, thou shalt not go clubbing after 12 o'clock, right? There's no, you know, commandment, you know, the 11th commandment, thou shalt stay away from Lan Kwai Fong, you know, after 1 a.m. You know, there's nothing like that and stuff. And so, just sort of trying to address some of these things, but, you know, when I hear, and at first, listen very, at first, when that happened, now I'm not saying that's wrong. Oh, well, you'll catch it as I continue to speak. At first, you know, I was quite like, you know, they ask a question, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know, and I give my kind of thing. And then after a while, I begin to realize, I actually did a real sort of injustice to my congregation and to people that I know that ask me these questions. You know, because, you know, I begin to realize, you know, it's not about, can I do this? Can I do that? You know, can I, you know, what's the boundaries? How far can I go here? You know, like in dating, right? I mean, you know, invariably, you know, it's, you know, people start dating, I start doing counseling, they always ask me, how far can I go? You know? Like, you know, for some people, like, you know, even kissing, you know, because some people would say kissing is a precursor, you know, or sort of a type of kind of intercourse, you know, kind of thing. And I don't really go that far and stuff, but, you know, it's just all different varying views, different denominations, different people have different, you know, like, is it okay to hold hands? You know what I mean? Or is that, like, too much? I mean, you never know, right? You know, can I touch, you know, or where can I touch? Where can I not touch? You know, we're adults here, right? So I'm speaking to adults, you know? And so there's so much gray area here. And, you know, and I realize that those are wrong questions. It's the wrong question. It should be, Lord, you know, can I not do this? Can I not do that? You know, it's like our focus in this whole time is just a little bit off. You know, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Some translations say all things are permissible, right? But not all things are beneficial. Right? And it says, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake, but if anyone should say to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I say this, and I'm not gonna answer those questions. You know, so don't ask me those questions anymore. Right? I'm not gonna answer those questions and things. And that's, you know, because we are adults, you know, and you can make adult decisions, and I can sort of steer you in how to live your life, but ultimately you need to make that decision, and it needs to be your conviction, you know, because I don't want you to live out my convictions, right? Live out your convictions, you know, that you have before the Lord. And things, and you know, the premise, and so when I say these are not good questions, the premise of this, right, and I say this as a premise of my life, it's not what I can and what I cannot do. The premise and the core of my life is following and focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I get so caught up in the legalism, you know, I don't do this, don't do that, then as soon as I focus myself on this, then I lose my focus on Jesus and my primary goal of glorifying Him. You know, they're just not good questions. You know, as a follower of Jesus, my main goal is to love Him and give Him glory. Now, when he's writing here, Paul is faced with this dilemma in essence, you know, and people are sacrificing meat. There's a very common, you know, tradition. What people would do, they would sacrifice meat, you know, and, you know, they would sacrifice up to the gods. And so obviously this meat was sold in the meat market for sort of a lower price, you know, in essence. And so people that are, you know, that have a lot of money, you know, and they would go and buy this meat and they'd eat it. And then a part of the church began to say, hey, you can't eat meat sacrificed to idols, you know. And so the kind of a debate, you know, it came up. And so Paul is trying to sort of address this, you know, kind of like this gray area, you know, because meat is meat. You know what I mean? Alcohol is alcohol. You know, there's nothing real special about it, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, it's just what it is, you know. Tobacco is tobacco. You know, there's not anything special about it. And it's just what it is. You know, so it's not the thing itself, you know, that's deadly in essence. But a lot of times it's the way we use these things. Like money. Money itself, you know, some people would say, oh, money bad, you know. And stuff. But I think money good, you know, and hopefully most of us do, right? I mean, we need this money, but when we get so focused on our money, we get so focused, right? It's not exactly what God had in mind for us, you know, and then we don't get to receive sort of the blessing, you know, of what the money and the wealth and these things was intended to give to us, you know, and so we could just sort of totally lose out. And so Paul comes and he says this verse, I think, is so profound. He goes, everything is permissible. You know, I tell you, as a Christian, everything is permissible. It's all permissible, right? It really is. But then he comes back and he says, you know, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is edifying for us. You know, not everything will really stir us, right, into the way that we really want to be stirred. You know, and I just say as a church, you know, don't focus on these do's and don'ts and these regulations and these gray area stuff. Focus on Jesus. You know, I mean, really, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I think if you're sitting in a bar, you know, and you're with some friends, you know, and, you know, I think you could focus on the Lord. You know what I mean? Now, if you're, you know, thinking about picking up that chick over there, you know, and you know what I mean, and stuff, and, you know, and how to get a free drink from this guy over here or getting noticed. And it's like, well, you know, you sort of kind of, you know, missed out on that. You know, but if, see, it goes, if our heart, right, if our heart is to serve the Lord, I mean, if our heart is to grow in Him, you know, all these other things, they just sort of die away. Do you know what I mean? And stuff. And so, you know, as a pastor, I'm not saying it's good or bad. You know, everything is permissible, right? Everything is lawful. But then at the same time, not everything is beneficial. You know, and Paul brings it even further. But not everything edifies. In other words, you know, edify meaning builds up. You know, there's activities that we can do, and it just doesn't build up. You know, there could be something as harmless, you know, as playing Monopoly or something. You know, we've been really on this Trivial Pursuit thing lately, right? And stuff. And so, you know, it's permissible. It's okay. It's just a game. But the way we play the game, you know, God, you suck, you know, you don't know that one, you know, kind of. Yeah, actually, no one really does that. We just do that in our mind. Or maybe I do that. I don't know. And stuff, you know, and kind of thing. And you sort of lose track on something that could have been beneficial, but now it doesn't edify. You know, it didn't really build us up. You know, we had a dinner last night. And a bunch of us, after our baptism class, we just went across the street to the Korean restaurant. And, you know, we just had a meal and stuff. And for me, I just apologize. Afterwards, my wife rebuked me after I got home. And so I guess I was acting really weird, you know. I've been getting a lot of sleep. That's my excuse and things. And I guess I kept challenging Jungmin all the time, you know. And like, come on, this, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I'll apologize to him later and things. And I realized, you know, it's just a pleasant meal. Could have been a pleasant meal, right? But all of a sudden, I turned antagonistic. You know, and stuff, and it wasn't edifying. It didn't build up. You know, I didn't build up my brother, you know, and I wasn't built up, you know. In fact, when I got home, my wife tore me down and stuff, and then so the Lord can build me up, you know. And I mean, thank God for wives, right? Amen. And things and stuff. So, you know, everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial, right? Not everything is profitable. Not everything will build us up. You know, if we're going to just draw sort of a white line or just sort of a, you know, a brush stroke on this, you know, in the activities that we do, I mean, just real simply, if it doesn't build us up, if it doesn't build people around us up, just don't do it. Right? Don't do it. And I used to say, when I was a high school pastor, I used to say to my students, man, if you can't do it in front of your mom, don't do it and stuff. And we're a little older, so, you know, obviously we can do a lot more things now. You know, in front of our parents, it's no big deal. You know, but at times, right, you know, let's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is asking us about. And let's focus on Jesus instead of on all these other things. You know, because, I mean, we could sit there and we can just go for hours talking about gray area. You know, like you know, we're having a leaders meeting this week and we're talking about things. And, you know, and I think it's, you know, I mean, personally, you know, just in my mind, you know, at Julian Hedon's wedding reception here in Hong Kong, I think it's perfectly appropriate to have a glass of wine, you know, or to have champagne to toast. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so we can't, like, get all black and white. You know, there's so much gray and things. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, maybe, you know, these same drinks or something it's in a different setting is not quite as appropriate. You sort of get it? And so it's not about do this and do that. Let's just toss that to the side. And let's, as a church, as a person of God, let's draw near to the Lord and just seek Him. And if it, you know, and just simply, if it builds me up, I'm going to do it. If it doesn't, I'm just going to toss it to the side. If it builds up my brother and sister, I'm going to go for it. If it doesn't, I'm going to toss it to the side. Because the premise by which Paul is talking, because as soon as he says this, right, think about it. He says, all things are lawful, not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, not all things are beneficial. Then look at the next verse. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. And he twists it around, and he's basically saying, look, don't just live for yourself. Live for other people. Doesn't that sound like a lot like Jesus? I mean, Paul just sounds a lot like Jesus a lot, you know, because he probably prays a lot, you know, and things. And so, you know, in that context, you know, when we go through these things, think about other people. You know, we have so much freedom in the Lord. We all do, right? We have so much freedom and things that, you know, and thank God for this freedom, right? It says for Christ died to give us this freedom, right? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And if you're free, you shall be free indeed. And we have so much freedom. But a lot of times our freedom can be a stumbling block for other people. I'll share you my own personal convictions. For me, myself, I just don't drink, right? I don't smoke, you know, I sort of choose not to, you know, and, you know, I mean, I have no problem with alcohol or these things, but I just don't, you know, and I feel like as a pastor, I sort of have a responsibility, you know, to my congregation and more to that, but to the world, you know, because, you know, a lot of times in the world, you know, people look at the church, you know, and people look at Christians, and they think a Christian just shouldn't drink, you know, a Christian shouldn't smoke, or, you know, a Christian shouldn't, you know, be going to these places and whatnot. And they may be off, right, because a Christian can do a lot of things, right? Everything is permissible. But I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone. You know, I don't want to be caught somewhere and someone to see me and, you know, and just sort of disqualify Christ and the message of Christ. because of my lifestyle. And so even though I have no problem with alcohol, I have no problem with you guys drinking, okay? You know, but even though I've got no problem with these things, yet for me personally, you know, I just choose not to do it because of my love for the world. You sort of understand what I'm trying to say? You know, and in this way, you know, I'm just trying to follow, right? I'm not seeking my own good, but that of his neighbor. You know, my uncle's a pastor in Seattle. And my aunt's a nurse, you know, I mean, she does really well, you know, especially when they were in San Francisco. I mean, she used to make a lot of money, you know, and they needed to buy a car and things, you know. And so, you know, the kids, they're, you know, my cousins are really excited. Oh, we're going to buy a car. What kind of car should we buy? You know, and I'm just like, you know, for me, I'm like, you know, Volvo or, you know, just it's kind of a nice car. But then people won't be like, hey, why is a pastor driving a Volvo? You know, kind of thing and stuff. And obviously, pastors can't drive Benzes, you know. It's kind of this unwritten rule that we have, and so I don't know why and things, but, you know, we can't afford Mercedes-Benz, that's a whole other thing, but, you know, so there's kind of like this stigma. And my aunt, even though she can afford a much better car, she chose a sort of like a junk car, you know, like Hyundai or something like that. No offense, right? And things, and it's just sort of like, you know, this was a long time ago, right? Hyundais are really nice now, so... Don't be offended. Anyone work at Hyundai? Sorry, right? I gotta be careful here. Oh, yeah. I know. I met a couple guys who work at Hyundai Securities. I should omit this one from the message. In any case, and so, you know, she gets that and I asked her, why'd you do that? You should buy a safe car, you should buy a good car. And she just says, because I just don't want to give anyone an excuse, right, to not receive the message or not receive my husband's ministry. You know, and after she said that, it really clicked with me. You know, because as a young pastor, I'm flouting my freedom. I am free in Christ. I can do anything, man. You know, and stuff, because I am saved by grace. It's not by works. You know, and I can quote scripture after scripture and prove my point and stuff. But I just choose not to. Just in case. You know what I mean? Just in case. You know, and then later on, you know, it talks about here. It says, so am I going to live my life on the sake of other people's conscience? You know, is my liberty going to get in the way of other people's? You know, and Paul's saying, well, listen, you know, everything is permitted, but not everything is beneficial. You know, and as we live our lives, you know, let's not just live our lives for ourselves, but let's live our lives for the world. You know, Paul says, I'll be all things to all men, right? But that in some way, right? In any way, I can win some to the Lord. You know, and he had this focus in his life to follow after God. You know, and so, you know, I'm here, I'm not saying that, you know, forget the grave, forget this do's and don'ts. Just focus your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, align yourself, divine alignment, you know, with His life. And I guarantee you, as you do align yourself with His life, man, your life will be so, so blessed. You know, I get to talk about my wife and I again. You know, Lisa and I, for the last, you know, we've been, you know, sort of, it's been mostly my fault, but we've been having a little problem communicating, right? It's my fault, right? just give me the eye right now. I'll stand over here, you know, and it's been my fault, trust me, right? I just don't get it. I'm just a typical guy, man. And so, what we started to do now, right, is because, you know, we're sort of like disconnecting, you know, and like I say something and she takes it the wrong way. But I have just perfect intentions, you know, even though it came out really bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm saying don't judge by what I said, judge by my intentions, you know, kind of thing, which is not really good. In any case. So, you know, we're talking and I just realized that, man, everything's a little off kilter. So what we started doing is in the morning, we started waking up and we just prayed together. You know, I just wake up, just put my hand on her head, you know, and I just bless her, bless our relationship. And, man, that day was so nice. You know what I mean? It was just like, wow. And I actually do this every day, obviously. You know what I mean? But it was just kind of like, even in my relationship with Lisa, you know, trust me, we're not getting a divorce. It's nothing like that, right? So we're just having a little communication problem and things. And so, you know, and so in the midst of this, you know, after we just started praying and we started the day off in the morning connecting with each other, you know, and praying for one another and asking God's blessing to come, and the day was just glorious, man. You know what I mean? I mean, she even wrote me a little note, you know, put a little heart thing on there. So nice. You know what I mean? And stuff. And it's like, man, You know, and when, I mean, just, and see, because we started off and we connected and I aligned myself and we aligned ourselves together with God. And it just, everything just moves smoothly in our life. You know, and it's the same way with God, right? You align yourself with God. You know, it could be when you wake up or during the day and you just connect and you click with Him. And then your life just comes in order. I see this happening so many times. You know, that all of a sudden business deals, you know, just miraculously start appearing. You know, next thing you know, you're getting so much favor from people around you. You know, whereas you'd be, you know, a little ticked when a little thing happened here, doesn't get you upset anymore. Because we align ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because we're focused on Him. Right? We're fixing ourselves on Him. You know, I preached this morning in the Korean church on Hebrews 12, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And our lives are so focused on Him. Our lives are just drawn near to Him in that way. And all of a sudden, God just brings abundant blessing and aligns our life before Him. You know, where other things may be jagged, you know, it just gets off. And have you ever been in a situation, you know, where you're working so hard and you're doing all these things and it's just not happening? You know what I mean? I mean, I heard of this couple that were trying to buy a house, you know, here in Hong Kong, and they're having so many problems that they bought the house, but with a contractor, and they had problems with this and with the realtor, and then just one after another after another after another, and all of a sudden, you know, this friend of theirs, you know, just Christian, simply says, you know, have you prayed about this? Have you really just given it to the Lord? You know, and this couple finally, oh, yeah. It's a good idea, you know, and they just begin to pray together, and all of a sudden, things start going into alignment, you know, and all of a sudden, things start just following through, you know, I mean, it's happened in my life so many times, right? I'm working so hard, trying to make something happen, I'm busy doing this and that, you know, and I totally forgot about God. I forgot that God is the all-powerful God that can, bam, do it just like that, with, you know, much better than I can, you know, much quicker, you know, with much more effectiveness. But here I am doing all these things, trying to get it all going together. And then when I'm at my wit's end, then, Lord, help me, please. You know, and then God's, you know, not this God, man, sucker, you know, why'd you take so long, right? I mean, he comes to our aid, right? He's our ever-present help in our time of need, the scripture tells us. And as soon as, and we, what, all we're doing is we're coming back under His umbrella. We're submitting ourselves to Him again. And come into divine alignment, right? And the blessing and the order of God just begins to flow in our lives. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We are to consume our lives with things that are worthy, not with do's and don'ts. We are to consume our lives with things that are worthy. Look what it says here in chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now look at it in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right? So he's telling people, God, come on, rejoice, you know, be happy, be glad, pray at all times, give everything to the Lord, you know, and whatever happens, just focus on the things that are good. Things that are true. And then he finishes off and says, if you do this, the God of peace will be with you. In other words, if you do this, we will be assured of the presence of God in our life. Isn't that amazing? Now, you got to understand the context by which Paul is writing here. If you notice in verse 2, he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know the background of what's happening here. Euodia and Syntyche, they're these two powerful women in the church. Right? Most scholars believe that these were, in essence, were Paul's intercessors. Right? When the verse there says, shared my struggle, we can translate this, that they did spiritual warfare on my behalf. And so these would be like, you know, two like female elders in the church. You know, in Koreans we call them kwanzanims, right? This would be like two female elders in the church, and they're fighting with one another. You know, I mean, this is going to happen in church, right? You know, person A might not get along with person B. You know, and they're in the middle of this dispute. And so he's writing to the church in Philippi where these two ladies go to. And these are two powerful women, and they're fighting with one another. And so he's telling them, he says, I urge them to live in harmony in the Lord. You know, and so he's continuing on, he's telling them this approach, and he's basically giving them the plan by which they can live in harmony. He says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, right? Whatever else is, let your mind dwell on these things. In other words, you know, if Judea, you know, just has a foul mouth, you know, don't focus on that. Focus on other things about her character or about her that is worthy of praise. You know, and so it's this mindset, right, that the Lord is asking us to live under. You know, that we don't focus on the negatives, right? Don't focus on the do's and don'ts. Don't focus on those things. But focus on the things that are true, the things that are beautiful. You know what I mean? I mean, in every single one of us, you know, we all have our issues. You know what I mean? We all have our baggage. You know, a lot of us have suitcases of baggage, right? Well, baggage and suitcase, same thing, right? We got a lot of baggage, right? In essence. You know, and we have all our stuff, right? And things, but even in the midst of that, there are lovely things about each and every one of us. I mean, there really are, right? There's things that God has imprinted us with, right? There's gifts that God has put into us. There's natural abilities, acquired traits, you know, ministries, you know, and effects and, you know, manifestations of the Spirit that God has put inside each one of us, a part of our personality, because we're made in the image of God. You know, and instead of focusing on those other things, we focus on the things that are true, that are worthy, right? That are of good reputation, right? That are honorable. And we give ourselves into these things. You know, and this is what it's all about, right? Our life goal, this whole idea of Christianity, it's a living, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we start getting into do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, we have just entered into an orientation of death. Because that's what death sounds like. That's what death talks like. You know, remember the Pharisees? They were dead. You know, Jesus says, man, you guys are decrepit. On the outside, you look this, but you are a walking tomb. You know, you make one convert. You know, you go all around the world and make one convert. And Jesus says, and you make them twice the son of hell that you are. Golly. That's the orientation of death. But the orientation of life says, Lord, I'm in a living, vibrant relationship with you. And I'm fixing and focusing my life on you. You know, all those other things, you know, it's these things are for you know, for peasants to think in that way. But God wants us to live life of kings. Let me just close. Turn to Proverbs 31. This is a passage that women hate a lot. Some women, I should say, because it's almost impossible to get to. Right, Proverbs 31 is the passage of the virtuous woman. The words of Lemuel, right? This is King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. And let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. And then he goes on, an excellent wife who can find, for worth is far above jewels. And he continues on and on and on. You know, a lot of times women have sort of taken this verse and, you know, it's kind of like, this is subversive, you know, this is men trying to, you know, draw kind of a idea of what the Christian woman should be like and on and on and on. And but if you actually really look at this text, the words that are spoken here are not from a male perspective. the words that are spoken are actually from a female perspective, because it's Lemuel's mother that actually, if I could say, taught him this oracle. You know, but, you know, and I know this talks about wine and alcohol. That's not the point of what I want to talk about here. You know, but it's this idea that these things are not fit for kings, Lemuel. You know, this is like a mother's advice to us, you know. And our mother that wants us to grow up, and our mother that wants us to be great, you know, and our mothers that want us to succeed and go far beyond what they went through. And there's this phrase that keeps coming back over and over and over again. This is not fit for kings. You know, part of our lifestyle, there's some things in our lifestyle, they're just not fit for kings. They're just not fit for children of God, princes and princesses, right? That are sons and daughters of the Most High God. They're not fit for kings. You know, a lot of times with our lifestyle, we live life like the peasants. You know, and he says, give this stuff to these peasants. You know, these guys that are struggling and are suffering, give them that kind of stuff. But to kings, be different, he's saying. Right? And like I said, I know this is talking about alcohol, but that's not the point what I'm trying to make here. Right? We should be living lives, right, that is worthy of the king. Right? That is worthy of something that goes beyond. Right? Don't live these peasant lives in the faith. You know, focus ourselves on Jesus. You know, give ourselves to this vibrant, living relationship with God. And live lives worthy of the King. Amen. Let's close our eyes.